All right. Am I unmuted?
You're unmuted.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. I'm going to go over the conditions over the last month or so, and then look forward into the next few months in terms of conditions, mainly focused on the Missouri Basin. As you can see there on the map on the left, the conditions over the last 30 days in terms of temperature have been relatively cool. Everything you see in sort of a green shading, and especially the blue and purple, I mean, the temperatures have been below normal over that over those regions. You can see a lot of area, of course, over the panhandle of Nebraska into Wyoming and up through Montana, where it's been relatively cool, and saw a few spots in North Dakota that are part of the basin that have been above, much above normal in terms of temperature. As far as precipitation over the last 30 days, you can really see a mixed bag there, where the purples, greens, and blues are generally where precipitation was above normal. And you see a lot of area, say, in the lower basin that was relatively wet. But you also see in parts of South Dakota, western South Dakota and Wyoming, eastern Wyoming, northeast Wyoming, where it's been pretty darn dry as well. Some more wetness up in Montana. Now, remember, these are percentages of normal as opposed to actual rainfall. So what's normal over that 30-day period is a little bit different than maybe what you may think. So next slide. So the mountain snowpack, you know, as we get into May, and actually late May and in early June, sometimes these snowpack maps don't tell a very good story, because it can be very warm and melt a lot off and such. Or, in this case, it can tell us a little bit more about mountain snowpack this late in the season, where you have well over 100, sometimes 200, I don't think there's, well, there actually are some 300 and 600s in there in Colorado and southern Wyoming, where they've had lots of snow at higher elevations especially. And you can see where there's a lot of water in the Platte River Basin, and there's a picture right next to it of the Pathfinder Dam, which, of course, isn't a core dam, but is run by the USBR, Bureau of Rec. Up to the north, there are signs of relatively low snowpack for this time of year. Again, sometimes those numbers don't mean a lot as that snow is melting off. But in this case, we have seen generally across this this spring lower snowpacks as you move north of central Wyoming. Next slide. So the outlook for the next, it does say June 14th to the 20th for our region, if you will, the Missouri Basin, really shows quite a bit of warmth. If you look at the left map there, you'll see that orange color, which is a pretty strong indication of above normal temperatures for the week of June 14th to the 20th. And actually, after today, I know in Kansas City anyway, and most of this region as well, after today, things are going to warm up quite a bit into the warmest temperatures that we've seen all year, well into the 90s across a large area of the Midwest and Missouri Basin. Maybe the far western portions of Montana and the upper basin will have better chances of below normal temperatures, but by far the basin as a whole will be looks to be warmer than normal for that week, June 14th to 20th, and really the rest of this week up until that point. In terms of precipitation on the right, you see chances for below normal precipitation pretty much over the entire basin. Maybe the lower basin has a slight chance of above normal precipitation over that same period. Again, this is the week of June 14th to the 20th. Next slide. So looking at the month of June as a whole, I understand we're part of the way through this already, and it's going to be interesting to see if we can actually, in Nebraska, in Kansas, and even Missouri there, hold on to that below normal signature, which shows up on the left. But this is what the Climate Prediction Center is saying for us in the lower basin, mainly southern part of the basin, better chances for below normal averaging out over the month of June. I'm not sure that's going to happen, especially in Nebraska and in Kansas, as I said before. And then above normal temperatures, again, conversely with the last map I showed, for the West Coast and into Montana. As far as precipitation goes, really there is no indication or no, we had no indication of, you know, any signal that was going to tell us whether it was going to be wet or dry over the entire basin. So there's equal chances for above, below, and near normal for the month of June. Next slide. So for the rest of the summer, for June through August, this is what the Climate Prediction Center is calling for. You notice there's a big hole in the middle of the temperature map on the left, which shows it shows equal chances of above, below, and near normal. One of the reasons for that appearing that way is that we have had at least, let's say, Nebraska south. Good rainfall and good spring precipitation, which tends to actually moderate temperatures over time. That can be washed away pretty quickly if temperatures are above normal. So we'll see what happens with that. Right now, you can see that other than that kind of donut hole in the middle of the basin, it's surrounded by above normal chances for temperatures. So that may be more the rule, above normal temperatures for most of the basin. We'll see. And then for precipitation, sort of an odd shaped oval in the middle, again, maybe based in northeast Colorado, Panhandle, and Nebraska, of the highest percentages of above normal precipitation, sort of in the central part of the basin, really over the Platte River Basin for the most part. And then lesser probabilities as you kind of extend out from that in terms of better chances for above normal precipitation. Next slide. Here's the current drought monitor for the Missouri Basin. There are some splotches of dryness here and there. That yellow area isn't considered to be in drought yet, but it is sort of abnormally dry. I think you're going to see when the next one of these is published this Thursday morning, you will see that there's been an expansion in some of those places and some deterioration, especially in western South Dakota and in Wyoming. At least that's what I've heard so far. I wouldn't be surprised to see some more sort of dryness develop over the next 2 weeks, especially if the rains don't come, and we have those above normal temperatures like we just looked at a couple slides ago in terms of the basin. It's not surprising this time of year. Droughts can happen really fast. Sometimes we call them flash droughts if it gets really hot and winds pick up and that kind of thing. And those are usually agriculturally based impacts. Next slide. So here's the drought outlook, and I guess that what I'm going to sort of focus on here is that those yellow areas are where drought is outlooked or predicted to develop or worsen. So a region that is very close to the Missouri Basin, sort of in the northeast, I guess, of the Missouri Basin, is worth watching in terms of expansion from there if it does occur, and there are some indications of above normal with the above normal temperatures, it's more likely to have drought expand. I guess that's all I'll say about that, except that all of these maps that you've pretty much seen will be updated next Thursday by the Climate Prediction Center, and they are updated at least monthly. So. I guess that's it for that map. On to the next one. So it's kind of a summary or key points. One thing we didn't bring up, but I can mention that El Nino is pretty much a goner. Its effects in this region are going to be minimal at best through the rest of the summer. We are under a La Niña watch, which means that conditions are such that it is likely a La Niña will develop later this summer into early fall. And the implications of that really are for kind of a reverse of what you would see in El Nino. And I'll just briefly say that that means during the wintertime, cooler than normal across the north and perhaps wetter across the north part of the U.S. Mountain snowpack, as we said earlier, the main stem has sort of below normal conditions, but the Platte River Valley, Platte River Basin, I'm sorry, has much above normal in terms of snowpack and a lot of water coming down the Platte right now. Last 30 days generally have been cooler, and it's been sort of a mix of wet and dry across the region. Some minor drought development in the upper basin has occurred and will continue to occur. As far as predictions, right now we're kind of slipping into what we call a neutral tropical Pacific, with La Niña likely developing a little later this summer. And really the impacts from that La Niña tend not to be felt until late fall. More on that as we go on in this series, I suppose, or if you tune into other webinars that we do. In the short term, next 2 weeks, we expect much warmer temperatures across the basin as a whole, maybe in the east, far western part of the basin, maybe not so much. The rest of the summer, near to above normal temperatures throughout the basin. As far as precipitation is concerned, really June, for the moment, shows equal chances of wet, dry, and normal. June through August, the rest of the summer, trending towards wetter in a large part of the basin, but with relatively low probabilities of that actually occurring. So not much better than, not much more, not much higher probabilities than normal, but slightly. So we're hedging towards wet. And that's all I think I have today. Is that right?
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much. So next we'll have Mr. Kevin Lau. Kevin?
Hi, Michael. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Go ahead, sir.
Great. Good afternoon, everyone. Again, I'm Kevin Lau. I'm with the Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, which is a field office of the National Weather Service. We are currently in the last push of high elevation snowmelt. During the next week to 10 days, we should see the last of the peak snowmelt runoff occurring. For many mountainous locations, we have already experienced the seasonal runoff peak for 2016 in areas where we've had rain on snow. So the runoff crests that are happening now and over the next couple of days may actually be lower at some locations than the stage crests that we've already experienced in 2016. The peak snow melt that we are now seeing is not expected to pose flooding concerns in either the Yellowstone or the Upper Missouri areas. However, we do have minor to moderate flooding already ongoing along the Laramie, North Platte, and Platte Rivers in Wyoming and in Nebraska, as melt has now started in earnest in the headwaters of the Platte. We do have some high water along the South Platte River as well, but it is not to flood stage and is not expected to reach flood stage. Many locations along the North Platte and Platte Rivers have probably already experienced their peak river levels, as runoff from rain and snow melt in early May has already begun to be translated through the reservoir system. Coupled with the higher elevation snowmelt, may also saw above normal precipitation over much of the basin, as Doug has already alluded to. This has led to flooding along several of the tributaries to the Missouri River and including the Missouri River itself below Gavin's Point. In May, the following areas within the basin experienced flooding. The Milk Basin, the Wind River Basin in Wyoming, the Vermilion River in South Dakota, and as we've just mentioned, along the Laramie and North Platte Rivers in Wyoming and Nebraska, and the Platte River in Nebraska. The Big Blue Basin in Nebraska and Kansas, the Republican, Solomon, Smoky Hill, Saline, and Kansas Rivers in the state of Kansas, and the Meredosine River in Kansas. We've had a couple of rounds of flooding along the Little Sioux in Iowa and in the Grand, Osage, and Platte River basins in Missouri. And we've had a couple of rounds of flooding along the main stem itself from Nebraska City down to the mouth. Convection drives summertime flooding in the lower third of the Missouri River Basin. Episodic minor to moderate flooding will undoubtedly occur along some of the tributaries to the Missouri in eastern Kansas and Nebraska, western Iowa, and across the state of Missouri for the remainder of the summer. Our latest preliminary 90-day river outlook, which takes us through the first week of September, indicates a reduction in the likelihood for flooding in the lower third of the basin, and that's typical as we move into the summer season. But there still remains a 50% or greater chance for thunderstorm-driven flooding to occur at certain locations. Thank you, and this concludes the National Weather Service flood potential brief.
All right. Thank you so much, Kevin. All right. Ms. Jody Farhat, I'm going to turn the floor to you.
Okay, Michael, can you hear me?
I hear you just fine, ma'am.
Okay. Actually, I'm TDY today, so I was going to have the folks that are sitting there in the office run this portion of it. I'll be on in case there are questions. So, Mike or Kevin, are you there and ready to make some introductory remarks?
Yes, this is Kevin Grody.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
So thank you for joining us again today on the Missouri Basin Outlook conference call. We appreciate your participation and look forward to our continued collaboration. Late last week, we posted the June runoff and reservoir regulation forecast on our website. And this morning, we put out a press release covering much of the same information we are covering on the call today. So now I'm going to ask two of our senior engineers in our office to describe these forecasts in more detail. So we'll begin with Kevin Staum, who will discuss the updated 2016 runoff forecast, and then he will be followed by Joel Kaczynski, who will discuss the planned regulation of the reservoir system based on the current runoff forecast. So I'll turn it over to Kevin Staum.
Thanks, Kevin. The June 1 calendar year runoff forecast for the Missouri Basin above Sioux City, or the Upper Basin, is 25.3 million acre-feet, or 100% of average. May runoff above Sioux City was 4.5 million acre-feet, or 136% of average. Runoff was well above average in all reaches except the Oahe reach. Factors taken into consideration while preparing the forecast include observed precipitation and stream flow, drought and soil moisture conditions, observed temperatures, mountain snowpack, and the NOAA Climate Prediction Center monthly and seasonal temperature and precipitation outlooks. Doug Kluck covered the Missouri Basin drought conditions. Slide 14 shows the mountain snow water equivalent, or SWE, as of June 6, which was below average. It was 47% of the June 6 average level in the reach above Fort Peck, and 40% of the June 6 average level in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach. This year, the mountain SWE peaked below average in early April, 93% of the average peak accumulation above Fort Peck, and 86% of the average peak accumulation in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach. Ongoing warmer than average temperatures have resulted in rapid snowmelt runoff in the past week from the remaining mountain snowpack. Doug Kluck also covered the extended spring and summer temperature and precipitation outlook, so I won't go over this. So in summary, the 2016 calendar year runoff forecast is 25.3 million acre-feet, which is 100% of average. Slide 15 depicts the calendar year runoff forecast on a monthly basis. Above normal rainfall in May and early mountain snowmelt was the cause of above-average May runoff. Runoff in the upper basin is forecast to be about average in June and below average in July as the remaining mountain snowpack melts. Runoff in the last 5 months of the year are forecast to be about average. Thank you for your attention. Now Joel Kaczynski will discuss the June Reservoir System Regulation Study.
Thank you, Kevin. The Missouri River Reservoir System storage is currently at 59.5 million acre-feet, or 3.4 million acre-feet into the 16.3 million acre-feet of available flood storage. Gavin's Point releases averaged 18,800 cubic feet per second in May. Releases are currently 21,500 cubic feet per second and will increase to 22,000 cubic feet per second on Wednesday to prevent endangered lease terns and threatened piping plovers from nesting on low sandbars that would be inundated later this summer when higher releases are needed to meet navigation flow targets. The nesting season runs from May to late August. Moving on to the monthly studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Kevin just discussed. Due to the amount of variability in precipitation and other hydrologic factors that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely runoff forecast. Information on the other runoff simulations is posted on our web page. Looking at the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck is currently at elevation 2236.1, or 2.1 feet above the base of the flood control pool, which extends from elevation 2234 to 2250. It is expected to peak near elevation 2237.8 in June. Peak daily average releases are expected to be about 9,000 cubic feet per second this summer. Garrison Reservoir is currently at elevation 1840.1, is expected to peak near elevation 1843.1, or 5.6 feet into the 16.5-foot flood pool, which extends from elevation 1837.5 to 1854. Peak daily average releases are expected to be about 20,500 cubic feet per second this summer. Oahe Reservoir is currently at elevation 1611.7. It is expected to peak near elevation 1614.0, or 6.5 feet into the 12.5-foot flood pool, which extends from elevation 1607.5 to 1620. Peak daily average releases are expected to be about 20,000 cubic feet per second this summer. Next, please. Navigation service level and season length. The navigation service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation and to help provide an 8 to 9-foot deep navigation channel downstream. We are currently providing full service flow support based on the March 15th system storage check. Flows for this level of service are designed to provide a 9-foot deep navigation channel, with Gavin's Point releases expected to range from the mid-20,000 to low 30,000 cubic feet per second this summer, depending on downstream conditions. Releases will be reduced in response to downstream flooding. However, the effectiveness of the reservoir system to reduce peak stages along the lower river diminishes as you move downstream due to the travel time. The service level for the remainder of the navigation season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1 system storage check. Under all three simulations, flow support for navigation would be full service and a full 8-month navigation season would be provided. The forecasted energy generation at the main stem dams for 2016 under the basic simulation is 8.1 billion kilowatt hours. With normal reservoir levels and releases, we would expect generation of approximately 10 billion kilowatt hours. Thank you, and that concludes my talk.
Thank you, Joel and Kevin. So in summary, the system is well positioned to provide good support to all of the authorized purposes this year, including flood control. We will continue to monitor conditions in the basin and be prepared to make necessary adjustments in response to rainfall events, particularly in portions of the basin where the soil moisture is much wetter than normal. When possible, releases from the mainstem reservoirs will be adjusted to reduce the impacts of these events, and sufficient flood control capacity exists in the reservoir system to do so. However, the Corps' ability to significantly reduce flood risk along the entire lower Missouri River diminishes at locations further downstream due to the large uncontrolled drainage area and the travel time from Gavin's Point Dam. So that concludes our remarks. Thank you very much. Back to you, Michael.
Thanks, Kevin. All righty. So next we will open up the floor for questions. The questions will be fielded by state in alphabetical order, so that means we will start off with Iowa. Are there any congressional delegation members from the state of Iowa who may have questions? Iowa tribes. Iowa state officials or local government. Iowa press. Okay, next we'll move on to Kansas. Are there any congressional delegation members from Kansas that may have questions? Kansas tribes, state or local officials, Kansas press, if you all will remember to put your phones on mute, and then if you have a question, you can unmute by star six again. Thank you so much. Okay, we'll move on to the state of Missouri. Are there any congressional delegation members who may have questions from the state of Missouri? Missouri tribes. State or local officials. Any Missouri press. Next, we'll go on to Montana. Montana congressional delegation members. Montana tribes. State or local officials. Montana press. Okay, next we will move on to Nebraska. Are there any congressional delegation members from Nebraska who may have questions? Nebraska tribes, state or local officials, Nebraska press.
Michael, can you hear me? This is Brent Martin with Nebraska Radio Network.
Yes, go ahead.
There was a mention, we've had quite a bit of rain in Nebraska, obviously, and there's been mention about North Platte and Platte flooding. Could somebody address that and maybe go in a little more detail about what kind of flooding have we seen, and do we expect it to have any kind of consequences in Nebraska?
Yeah, I can. This is Kevin Lau with the National Weather Service. I guess I can field that. So we've seen some minor to moderate flooding along the North Platte, for instance. Going all the way back up to the headwaters, North Platte at Saratoga, Wyoming, will probably cross into minor flood stage within a day or so. Sinclair on the North Platte will probably get high, but maybe not all the way to flood stage. Then on the Laramie, we have had some flooding at Fort Laramie. Again, that was minor. I don't know the actual impacts, like number of structures or if any structures were affected. I can just tell you the threshold that we reached or the category. So, at Henry, Nebraska, we got to moderate flooding. At Mitchell, we were in moderate. Now we're just in minor. Again, there's lots of reservoirs up there. A lot of them are Bureau of Reclamation reservoirs, and some are private, like irrigation districts and so forth. And so as canals come on and canals go off and different regulation, as they're translating this volume of snowmelt and rainfall down through the system, things change. But Mitchell was in moderate, now it's in minor. North Platte at Lisco was in minor, and now it's dropped a little bit below minor. Llewellyn, North Platte at Llewellyn is in moderate. And then North Platte, Nebraska, the North Platte at North Platte is in moderate and is expected to remain in moderate for several days. Then once we get into the Platte, below North Platte, Brady and Cozad along the Platte River itself, they're in minor, just barely in minor. So I don't know if that really addresses your question or not. I can't give you, like, structures, how many structures have been affected.
It sounds like the flooding has receded from where it was maybe a couple of weeks ago.
In certain areas, yes. But like in the very headwaters around Saratoga and Sinclair, where the main brunt of the peak snowmelt is just now happening, those are starting to rise a little bit.
So we could see some more flooding here in the next few weeks.
Could, yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Hey, Kevin, could you spell your last name for me? I'm sorry.
Yes, it's L-O-W. And it's pronounced Lau. But if you want to talk to me later on, I can give you my number, and you can give me a call, and we can talk offline some, too.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll give you my number. It's 816-308-7410.
I'll go 308-7410.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you a call after the conference.
Okey-doke.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, any other Nebraska press who may have questions? Okay, we'll move on to the Dakotas. North Dakota, do we have any congressional delegation members, congressional delegation members? Do we have any North Dakota tribes? State or local officials who may have questions? North Dakota Press? Okay, we'll move on to South Dakota. Any congressional delegation members who may have questions? South Dakota tribes? State or local officials? Any South Dakota press?
Hi, Michael. This is Erin from South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Hi. Go ahead.
Okay. When we were looking at the map and when we were looking at the drought, part of our western part of the state, the Black Hills, were in the areas of abnormal dryness. And did officials think that for now it's going to become drier and then eventually later this summer return to normal precipitation?
Yeah, so the in the short term, anyway, what I can really speak to the short term best. this is Doug Kluck, by the way, sorry. The short term, there's definitely it's going to worsen in terms, in fact, I just talked to the state climatologist who's usually on this call, Dennis Toddy from South Dakota, who said that they'll probably push for a D2 level, so a slightly more severe degradation in the Black Hills, mainly, of drought in this week's map. So if you don't look at it, you might look at it this week, the drought monitor map. Like, again, I say it comes out on Thursday morning, so take a peek at that, and then that'll give you the latest anyway. And then in terms of the next 2 weeks, hotter definitely is in the cards. And then in terms of precipitation, you know, that's in the summertime it becomes I hate to use the word, but kind of a crapshoot in terms of where the precipitation is actually going to fall. There's no giant organized system coming through, so that usually means you take what you can get when you get it. So, and especially in that neck of the woods. Also, some counties, and I don't have them, don't have a list here, but some counties just over the border in Wyoming have just declared drought emergencies or disasters over there. And again, I don't have the impact. I don't have the information on that. You'll have to go to a USDA site to find out why they were declared that way. It's kind of interesting because most of Wyoming is wetter than heck and has this flooding going on in the rivers, and in the northeast corner, it's very dry. So it's kind of a fast transition from dry to wet across Wyoming.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other South Dakota press? Okay, Wyoming. Any congressional delegation members from the state of Wyoming who may have questions? Wyoming tribes? Wyoming state or local officials? Wyoming press? Are there any national press on the line who may have questions? Any other questions that have, from anyone who you might have thought of another question? The floor is open for any final questions. Okay. This has been the last of our usual January to June monthly water management updates for the year. We appreciate your participation today. Thank you so much.